Shut up and sit down.
This is the Uncensored Voice. No bullshit, just real shit.
Discussing things that will stir the pot. Only here on the Uncensored Voice.
With your host, Ricky Midnight.
Hi guys, this is Ricky Midnight.
And this is Zach Mullins.
You're listening to the Uncensored Voice, and we want to talk about constitutional carry.
I'm
for constitutional carry. How about you?
Oh, I love it.
Well, first off, it's a constitution, so we shouldn't even be discussing this. We all have the right to carry a freaking gun. But the law has intervened, and the law supersedes constitution in certain respects. And the law says you can only carry a gun if you can buy a gun. So if you're a felon, if you're mentally defective, that means if you have PTSD, unfortunately, if you're
disabled, not defective.
Okay, disabled, not defective. But that's the wording in the law, by the way. Just using the wording of the law. But that's how they pronounce it, right? If you've been adjudicated as and it doesn't say adjudicated disabled. It says yeah. When's the last time you bought a gun?
It's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
Okay, it says adjudicated with mental disability or something to that effect. It doesn't say disabled, right? But there's certain circumstances when you're not allowed to own a gun. Effectively, if you can purchase a gun in the state of Texas, you can carry a gun. You don't need a license. And I'm all for it. I think it's great that people carry guns. How many people have you seen since September 1 of 2021 here in the state of Texas carrying a gun? Now, you don't know whether it's with a license or not, but how many people have you seen?
Quite a few.
Have you?
But, I mean...
Quite a few?
I mean, yeah.
I've seen one.
I mean, you got to also think about who my social circle is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Military. You have a military.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a military redneck from Wall, Texas.
Yeah.
They had guns in gun racks in their pickup trucks.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm assuming that since you have a background in military, most of your friends probably have licenses to carry.
I wouldn't even say it'd be more like 75% of them don't.
Oh, for real? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, see, I've only seen one person carry a gun, and it was a six shooter, like a cowboy gun. It was an old style six shooter. Might have been a new gun, but
yeehaw.
It was. And he had a fast draw rig on it. You know what I'm talking about? A fast draw rig, like the old cowboys, the gunslingers would have. He had a fast draw rig and it was strapped onto his leg. You know, the little, and it looked pretty cool. But that's the only person. We were walking. My wife and I were walking out of Home Depot. The guy was probably in his late 60s, and he was carrying it. So now, that's not to mention all the other people who carry, and it's concealed, right? I carry concealed most of the time. But, yeah, so I think it's great. I think we should all be able to do it anyway, you know? The biggest problem I see, before I go on, call 210-233-9968 if you want to discuss this with me and Zach, have opinions on it.
Is that better, Robert? Can you hear me more? I was away from my microphone. He'll let me know if it's good or not.
Oh. Yeah, we have someone typing to us right now. Robert, if you want to call in and speak with Zach, you can call in as well. But I think it's great. I think there's nothing wrong with concealed carry or with open carry, whether it be open carry. But I think under the Constitution, everyone should be able to carry. And the problem I have is, let's say you went to war, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you were, you know, being shot at or not, you went to war. You're always scared that you're going to lose a limb or your life at any time. Step on an IED, get shot in the head, get hit with a mortar. You're always thinking these things. So you come home and you have PTSD, right? And you see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, whatever it might be, and they put that in your record. Well, since they put that in your record, that means you can't buy a gun in the state of Texas.
Yes, you can.
Well, there's under certain circumstances you can. Yes, under certain circumstances you can. Most of the time they'll deny it, but then you gotta appeal it, right?
I have PTSD. I had no problem getting a gun.
But did you tell the truth on your when you filled it out?
Yeah.
And they still gave you the gun?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because I know a couple of people who told the truth and said that, you know, they had been adjudicated with, like I said, it doesn't say mentally defective, but it says something else on the on the report, it says, I forget the exact words, but it said something like that, and they said yes, and then, of course, that was the only thing they said yes to, and it got rejected.
And to a point, because, I mean, PTSD and depression is different for each people.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. What I don't like is the fact that, let's say you, right? Did you ever see theater?
Theater?
Were you ever in combat?
Oh, yeah. I went to Afghanistan twice. You said theater, and I was like,
Well, you would be in theater. You would be in the theater.
The newsies?
Yeah, right? I watched the talkie. So, okay. So, if you come back and you have PTSD, and they won't give you a gun, I'm just using a scenario, and they won't give you a gun because you have PTSD, you can't purchase it, then that means you can't legally carry it, right, under the constitutional carry. And I think that's pretty wrong, because not only did you give of yourself and your family to go over there to fight a war for us, the American people, but when you come back, we're telling you, you can't carry a gun, mister. You can't. I think that's pretty screwed up. So I completely disagree with that. I think constitutional carry says you can carry a freaking gun. Everybody. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say you can't carry a gun if you're a felon. But the law says you can't. And I think it's a bunch of BS.
I mean, I don't. Like.
I think it's a bunch of BS.
To a point, because, I mean, so laws are used to govern and control society. They are, because society needs some controls.
Well, I think that's control they shouldn't have.
And in the interest of the public, I would agree with that, for the most part. Now, I'm pro Second Amendment. I love to carry. Well, love guns. But the thing about it is the one thing that I think that should be annotated, and it's just kind of blanket, because most I don't know how I went through the thing.
Okay.
But it should be annotated in the same system that you use to purchase the gun, because it's a federal database. And I think that all psychiatrists and therapists should have access to that database, and then they should run. They should either say permission to buy a firearm. Don't buy a firearm for 6 months.
I think that sounds good.
And because, like, I mean, if you implement that as a control, then you really kind of limit the crazies that get the guns. Because, I mean,
yeah, but people can buy them legally and still, you know, do bad things.
Oh, definitely. But
and they're not crazies.
But if you can limit
until they become crazies, right?
No, but with this law, if this law could save one life, would it not be worth it?
It would, but you got to look. Let me give you the scenario here. Okay, all right. Did you know that within 1,000 feet of a school, if you, let's say, have alcohol, or, well, let's use an example. Across the street from my house here, across the street from my neighborhood here is an elementary school, right? Did you know that if I'm within 1,000 feet of that elementary school, and it's, what time is it? It's almost 9:30. And there's no school right now, 9:30 p.m., right? There's no school. So if I was to go within 1,000 feet of that school, and behind a tree I was to urinate, which would be just, it would be public lewdness if at the most, right? But I was to urinate, I would be charged with a felony. Did you know that? Okay. So if I have a felony on my record, because I was urinating behind a tree, I wasn't screwing a little child. I wasn't screwing a dog. I wasn't murdering anybody, but I have a felony on my record now. Did you know I can't purchase a firearm in the state of Texas? That means I can't carry. Or let's use another one. Let's say I was caught drunk driving, right? And I got caught drunk driving 3 times, which is kind of stupid of me. But we're not talking about falling down drunk. We're just talking about just barely over the limit. Barely over the limit. But it's still drunk driving. I was caught 3 times. Now I've got a felony. I can't own a gun. That's punitive. That is strictly punitive. That's not because I'm a dangerous society. That is strictly punitive. So I think that is wrong for us to say, because you're a child sex offender now for the rest of your life, because I peed behind a tree at 9:30 at night, you're a child sex offender, and you can never own a gun in the state of Texas. That's pretty screwed up.
Well, with that, the way that I would mm-hmm. combat that, before inmates get released, they have to meet with you know, probation officers. They have to meet with parole officers.
Well, see, I wasn't put in jail though.
But no. But, I mean, and if you have a felony charge, you're not going to have, you're going to have a felony charge and not be put in jail. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
It actually is. It sounds pretty screwed up, but it actually is.
But, okay, so at that given...
As long as you pay money to the government, it is.
I mean, at that given point in time, then when you're getting released from prison, mm-hmm. the parole board or whoever oversees your case, your case manager, they will look at your time in prison, mm-hmm. because some people do prison the right way, mm-hmm. and then some people do prison the wrong way. You could have went in there for peeing on the Alamo, mm-hmm. and come out
not the odd one
and come out like freaking El Chapo.
Yeah.
Cuz yeah. you're not going to be the same person going into prison.
I can completely understand that. Yeah.
So their state needs to at least be observed before letting them purchase a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the felony, the judge can annotate that on there. Mm-hmm. So if it's just a public lewdness and you peed on a school, you could say he still has the permission to buy a firearm.
I think something like that would be good. I think the way things are now is, let's say I went to go buy a gun, right? I went to Texas Guns and South Texas Guns, which is pretty cool. And I go to South Texas Guns and I go to buy a firearm and I get rejected on buying that firearm, right? And it was because I had a felony in my record. So it asks you, it's one of the questions is, do you have a felony currently, or are you currently adjudicated with a felony? Generally, I mean, it's in 7 years, generally, right? So I say, yes, I have a felony. So I can't purchase a firearm as a result. Well, you can still appeal it. Now, at that point, you can appeal it and say, I mean, besides being embarrassed, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you can appeal it, and then they have to look at it, and they'll say, well, oh, okay, well, yeah, you can go ahead and purchase a firearm. And at that point, you can get a firearm. So I think the system right there is good. Screw that loophole crap. It doesn't exist. It's stupid. I hate people saying that there's a loophole, you know, a gun show loophole. It does not exist. And for people to say that it does means you're stupid and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, and I'll explain that here in just a second, right? But I think that part of the system is great because you can appeal it, right? But constitutionally, which has nothing to do with the law, constitutionally, everyone should be able to carry a firearm. Everyone. Now, if you're, let's say you're a bad guy, okay? You're a criminal scumbag, right? And if you purchase that firearm, you're going to go kill people. Do you think that Zach, we'll just use Zach as an example. Zach, you're a criminal. You're a really bad guy. Do you think that Zach is going to purchase a gun legally? Or do you think Zach's going to buy it on the black market? Right? So it doesn't make any sense. You're making laws against something that doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense.
Now, and then with that, I think another thing that could be considered, and, you know, it could be considered stomping on somebody's freedoms, but I honestly feel like it's just more of a form of control.
And, yeah, it's just control. It's just punitive control. No, that's all it is.
I mean, and because I feel like every system should have some controls, mm-hmm. no matter what system it is, no matter what it is, it should have some controls to limit the output. And like, so
I think fear of punishment is a better control.
No
fear of punishment.
No, but what I'm saying is, so you putting limits on certain things, and it's basically some things is for their own safety, mm-hmm. Like from legal perspectives. So private gun sales, mm-hmm. I don't think that those should be a thing unless you mm-hmm. are licensed to sell guns and you have access
to the
federal database.
I can agree with that. Don't get me wrong. I mm-hmm. can agree with that. Let me talk to you about the loopholes. Okay. I know a bunch of people have been saying this for decades, that there's a loophole, right? Well, there isn't a loophole. You're an idiot if you think there's a loophole. If I make a private gun sale to him, that's not a loophole, okay? If he steals a gun from me, that's not a loophole. Those are both actions that have nothing to do with legal gun sales in the state of Texas. So if you go to a gun show, you cannot purchase a gun by just saying, here's some money, hand me the gun. That's illegal. You have to have a background check. You can't do that. So there is no loophole. The loophole would be me selling him one of my guns right now. Oh, that's not a loophole. So there is no loophole. So now for everybody out there who think there's a loophole, now that you understand, there is no loophole. You can't purchase a gun in the state of Texas legally other than private gun sales. And I think those should be stopped. And really, how are you going to police them, though, right? But I think that they you should not be able to purchase a gun. If I went to a gun store and they sold me that gun without doing a background check, it's illegal. So why is it how is that any different than going to a gun show and then selling me the gun without doing a background check? It's illegal. You know? Either way, it's illegal. But private gun sales, that's the problem. So if you want to look at anything as a loophole, it would be a private gun sale. So I think they shouldn't exist. Private gun sales shouldn't exist. Because let's say I sold Zach here, and I'm just using Zach as an example. Hope you don't take this personal, Zach. But let's say I sold Zach a gun, and Zach was a felon, and he was intending on taking that gun to the courthouse downtown and shooting a lot of people up. And I sold him my AR-15. He goes down there and starts shooting a lot of people up. Well, that's why I shouldn't be able to sell Zach a gun, right? That's what I believe.
Exactly.
So.
And that's generally it for me. I mean, the gun law being passed is awesome. I am all for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like just like with a bunch of Governor Abbott's things that he's signed into laws, that there should be more control. And I don't mean control as in government control. I mean controls to stop bad shit from happening. Now, like with the private gun sale, because if that saves one life, it's worth it for that little bit of that one control into the overall system.
Well, did you know that part of 1927 that passed, which is, you know, the constitutional carry, that did you know that part of 1927 that you have to DPS, which is the one who issues gun licenses, in this case you don't need a license, but that DPS has to now offer online training courses when you don't have to take them, but they do have to offer them. They have to offer online training courses. And
are they free?
They're free. So I suggest every single person who doesn't know enough about guns, but more importantly, who doesn't know enough about use of force when it pertains to your gun, you take the course because it will keep you out of prison. Trust me.
All I know is I take up my boomstick, and then I put my finger on that wham button, and then bodies start dropping.
It makes things go everywhere. God sort them out, right? So, but yeah, if I were you, I would take advantage of that course, that free course. And I even said in a recent podcast, why don't you just take the gun licensing course? Not because you need it. You can still carry. But for your safety, just take the course so you'll know a little bit more about when you can carry, when you can't carry. You'll know about the signage that's going to be on buildings. It's all over the place. If I ask, for example, do you know what I'm talking about, the signage? Do you know what makes it legal or not legal?
No, but after you finish up this point, Robert has a question.
Okay. So these are the things that I'm talking about. If you take the actual gun licensing course, they will tell you about these things. And you'll know when not to carry, so you won't go to jail. Mm. So what?
It costs too much money for me.
Costs too much money for me too. So let's go with the questions.
So Robert asks, what mechanism is in place for a private owner (parentheses) say I want to sell my dad one of my guns, for me to do a background check on him first?
As far as I know, there's not a whole lot for you to do a comprehensive check as far as the FBI goes, right? But you can actually look a person up. If you go on the internet, you can actually look a person up. And you can look up their criminal records. And I forget right offhand, but there's a free way to look up their criminal records. Matter of fact, when I was in dispatch, at police dispatch, we actually not, if we were, if the T-close was tied up, or if, I forget what it is, but where the dispatchers would actually look people up. I'm drawing a blank right now. If that was a little tied up or the T1 line was down, we would actually go online and we'd use that free checkup or a free lookup. And we would actually look the persons up and we would see if they have a criminal background. And I forget what it is, but I think it's like BearCounty.something, and it's completely free. But for the most part, and this is just a rule of thumb that I have. I do not sell guns that I have. I did it one time and I regret ever having done it. This is before I came up with the rule. Don't sell your personal guns, ever. Because if you do, and you sell them to somebody who maybe sells them to somebody or gives them to somebody, and it's used in a felony, it's going to come back to you. We don't register guns in the state of Texas, but look at it like this. If you purchase a gun here in the state of Texas, you purchase it from me and I'm a dealer, That number is now registered to you. I sold you gun number, that serial number, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, that's just inventory property.
That's just an inventory thing. That's right. Because I have to report to the federal government where this gun went. So now I've sold it to Zach. Zach gives it to Bob. Bob gives it to you. Bob gives it to you, and you give it to, you know, this other person, and that other person uses it in a felony. It's going to be coming back to Zach.
Okay, but back to his original question.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Texas, you can look up inmates if they've ever been to jail or prison.
Mm-hmm.
Their name will come up in the system, and you can look up their previous TDCJ number, what they were in mm-hmm. for, and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's a possibility. I mean, if they committed a crime in a different state, you'd have to look at that at specific states. But most states' correctional agencies will have a system in place where you can easily find criminals.
Yeah, at NCIC, if I'm not mistaken, that's what it is here in the state of Texas. And actually, when we would look people up, it would only look up state of Texas until we did a broad search. So like if I called in as a police officer and I said, hey, this is 2315, I need you to take a look at this person's driver's license, his name's Zach Mullins, and this is his driver's license number, blah, 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 they would look you up. And it would only look up Texas.
And they'd find out he's a bad man.
I have to say, I need to look at all the states. I need, does he have a felony warrant out of Chicago? And they would actually look up every single state. They'd go state, you know, nationwide, and they'd say, yeah, he's got a warrant out of Florida, but it says no extradition. You know, so that's kind of how that works. So, but just like I said, a rule of thumb, don't sell your personal guns to anyone. Don't give them away. You know, will them when you're dead, you're no longer responsible.
And even if you are, who cares? You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead, right? But don't sell your guns. Just keep them forever and ever and ever. That's what I say.
That is the way to go. I mean, so there's been times where I've contemplated selling guns, not like in a criminal capacity.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But like,
sell them to the mafia.
my friend wants a gun,
mm.
and
buy one.
And he wants to get it for me, and I kind of want to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his first gun,
mm-hmm.
best friend. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a dad or mm-hmm. or anyone that give him that gun, so there's like a sentimental.
Well, you know how to kind of cover yourself, and it's kind of you'd have to have it, it's an affirmative defense to kind of cover yourself on that. Let's say I wanted to give Zach one of my guns or sell one of my guns. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make out a piece of paper here, slip, right? I'm gonna say I sold Zach Mullins this gun, this serial number on this date, and I'm gonna describe the caliber of the gun. I'm going to stick it in an envelope, and I'm going to mail that envelope to myself. So now it's stamped with the post office seal, which is a government entity, stamped with their seal, and now don't open that envelope. Do not open that envelope. Stick that in a file cabinet somewhere, and that is your proof that you are no longer in possession of that gun. Zach Mullins is possession of that gun. Make sure he signs it, and make sure you sign it. Put it in an envelope. Mail it to yourself.
This makes me want to look up if there's anything. I'm pretty sure there's got to be policies on on ATS website and things mm-hmm. for private sales to mm-hmm. to keep you out of hot water.
Yeah.
That's generally where I would go. I would go for my information is directly to the source and go to the mm-hmm. ATF, and that's the first place that I would look.
Mm-hmm. So when I sold my gun, that's what I did. I mailed it. It's still somewhere here in the house. Heck, when I loaned a fellow police officer, I was still a police officer, I loaned a fellow police officer one of my pistols because he needed it. He went to go work for a little bitty agency. They didn't even offer pistols to their officers. That's how little this agency was. You had to bring your own pistol. So he asked me if he could borrow one of my 40 calibers. And I was like, sure, not a problem. Again, a fellow police officer. I went to the academy with him. I wrote all over the paper here that I you know, just like I just told you, at the serial number, the caliber, the how many magazines it had, that it came with the case. I wrote his name, his driver's license number. I wrote it all on there, and I said, on this date at this time, I'm relinquishing the possession of this firearm to this person, and he signed it. I put an envelope, I mailed it to myself, and that's still on file. And he's still a police officer. I'm not, right? But, yeah, that's what I did to cover myself. That way, if it was used, let's say he used it lawfully. He had to shoot somebody. Well, now that my gun is now going to be taken as evidence until it gets released after, you know, he's cleared. Well, if I wanted to go pick up my gun, because I'm the legal owner, I have to rip open that envelope and show it to the officers and say, hey, look, I'm the legal owner of that gun. Release it to me. I was just loaning it to him. It's all here in writing. Okay, not a problem. Then I'm going to redo it. You know?
Instead of mailing it to yourself, could you just get it notarized?
You can get it notarized, but you want it in a sealed envelope, because if you notarize it, I can always add on to there, right? Whatever I want. I can still add it on to it, right? But if it's in a sealed envelope, you can notarize it. But if it's in a sealed envelope, that's the way to do it. You got to pay for a notary. He doesn't cost you but one stamp, what, 25 cents for a stamp to mail it. So that's why I say mail it to yourself.
Hmm. All right.
So so hopefully hopefully we didn't ramble on too long. We've been rambling on for about 25 minutes. And
can I have one of your guns?
Negatory, sir.
Why not?
I don't give my guns to anybody. I had a friend ask me the other day, a few months ago, if I could actually sell him one of my guns. I said, no. You can buy one. They still make them. You can buy one. I will not sell you one of my guns.
But I can't buy them for a low, low price.
Yeah, you're not going to buy one here for a low, low price either. So you can go to gun stores that are very inexpensive, like Drury.
Gun
yeah.
shop.
Yeah. There's actually one. They just opened up one right next to my house over here. It's really cool. I'm going to have to go check it out. Yeah, you can go buy one of those. Or you can go to more expensive stores.
I'm just going to build my own.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do a 3D printing?
No. There's websites that you can legitimately get individual parts.
And see, I don't know how that works. I have not really gotten into it. I don't know how it works, because they all have to be registered with ATF, right? I think.
Pretty much only the bulk carrier group.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works.
And, if you're going to get a suppressor, that's registered with ATF.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a special license to get a suppressor, because I wouldn't mind having a suppressor. I have a barrel that's threaded. I would love to buy a suppressor for it just to hear how it sounds. See if Steven Seagal's right. You can put the bottle on it.
just throw a paint can on it.
Well, I'm afraid that I might get shrapnel from that paint can.
Or a potato.
Yeah, potato would be kind of cool. I don't know how it works, but I'm not going to shoot out of a potato. Possibly get potato juice in my barrel.
It'll clean out. Well, thanks for tuning in, Rob. I appreciate you.
yeah, thanks, Rob.
All right, well, I think we should wrap it up. We are closing in on the 30-minute mark.
This is Ricky Midnight.
And this is Zach Mullins.
Thanks a lot, and God bless America, and God bless Texas.
And stay strapped.
Thanks for listening to The Uncensored Voice.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And remember, on The Uncensored Voice, we tell it like it is.
So be safe, my friends, and may God bless America.